Guy Yehuda is an internationally acclaimed clarinetist and professor at the University of North Florida. In honor of Arkansas Clarinet Day, he will conduct a master class and perform a solo recital at the University of Arkansas Fort Smith this Thursday, January 24th. I recently spoke with Yehuda from his office in Jacksonville. He says the story of how he got his start in music is a long one, so he began our conversation with the short version.
I actually started my musical education back in Israel. I'm from Israel. On snare drums and bugles when I was in fifth grade. And that gave me, without reading even music, it was just all by ear. And that kind of gave me a very nice foundation of rhythm and sensitivity for pitch. And then I discovered the clarinet 2 years after and started not at a very young age. It was around 12, 13, which is normal for the clarinet, but kind of late bloomer for other instruments, mainly because of the physical limitation of the clarinet. You need a certain size of hands to actually cover the holes, and the lungs need to develop. So we usually start later than the other instrument. And ever since then, it's been my best friend.
So you say, so it, the clarinet is a larger instrument as opposed to some of the other, like a flute or some of the other wind instruments.
Not necessarily. Not necessarily. It's just the air pressure that is required for playing the clarinet correctly. It requires a bit more air pressure, so that's why it's easier, for instance, to play on the violin. There's a smaller violin. If you start when 3 years old, there's a quarter violin size, or piano, it's possible to slowly start really, really early. Even though in the past, I would say 15 years, there's been some development in the clarinet world with some plastic clarinets that are very, very small, with no tone holes. They actually have levers like a saxophone, so you don't need to really worry so much about covering the tone holes. And you can start extremely, extremely young, even 3 years old or 4 years old. The setup is extremely easy, almost like a recorder.
How does the clarinet, how does the sound that it produces, how does it differ from some of the other wind instruments?
Well, the clarinet is what we call a single reed instrument. It shares this kind of family with the saxophone. So the clarinet is actually an ancestor of the saxophone. And the reed is being placed on a mouthpiece and vibrating because of the air pressure. For any kind of musical instrument, you need vibration. Whether it's a column of air or a string, you need some vibrations. And the reed is providing those vibrations and actually exciting the air column inside the clarinet. So the clarinet is creating the sound because of the reed on top of the mouthpiece.
And a reed, that's an actual, it's an organic...
Yes. It's what we call cane. In Latin, it's actually the Arundo donax. It's a certain cane that grow in certain parts of the world, mainly in southern France and some in South America. And they harvest it. It's like a good wine. They have to kind of harvest it in a certain time of the year. It needs to get certain months of sun, and they need to cure it for a few years, and then they cut it and cure it again. So it's a very involved process in creating reeds. And then even when the reed is ready, you still have to work on the reed. And they're very finicky little things. I mean, they're very sensitive to humidity, to different temperature, to altitude. So whenever I travel, I have to bring with me more than the reeds that really perform well, for instance, in Florida, where I'm from. If I go to a drier climate, the reeds that work one part of the world won't work in the other. So they're very, very sensitive little things. But we have to deal with it.
How funny. I wasn't expecting that lengthy of an answer when I said, but they're organic. I had no idea.
Yes.
Right. Well, so you do play, you play solo.
Yes.
But in addition, you also play with orchestras and groups also.
Yes. In the past, I used to play a lot with orchestras in Israel and here. And since I assumed my position here at the University of North Florida, I have more time to really concentrate on solo work and chamber music work. which means I travel with groups. I have, for instance, a trio, clarinet, viola, piano, and I travel, and we play concerts in a chamber setting. Or I go to festivals, and we do kind of an ad hoc group. But I do love playing in orchestra, and once in a while I also play with the Jacksonville Symphony here. And it's a completely different music playing kind of experience, playing orchestra or playing chamber music or solo. It's just very, to be part of a larger group, especially playing huge pieces like Mahler. It's something that you cannot get from anything in chamber music, but it goes vice versa, the subtleties and the intimate setting of a chamber work like a Brahms quintet. There's nothing like that in any kind of setting of orchestral play.
Do you ever, you've mentioned Mahler and Brahms, mm-hmm. And that's kind of, those are classical
yes.
composers.
Mm-hmm.
Do you ever play jazz? Does the clarinet have a place in jazz or, I mean, even maybe blues?
Yes, I actually, when I started the clarinet, for my first year ever learning the clarinet, I learned with a jazz player, which is kind of a funny story. My first notes were learning Dixieland and some blues. And I remember it was when I was very, very young. And then after a year, I wanted to progress, and I went to the principal clarinetist of the city where I lived, and I played for him. And he said that, well, that's very good. But if you would like to play some other genres, classical, you should learn classical playing, because then it's easier to switch to jazz. And I said, okay. So I switched to classical, and ever since then I play classical mainly. But I do have occasion to play a bit of jazz.
What does the clarinet bring to an orchestra where there are so many other instruments?
Okay. Well, that's a great question. The story of the clarinet is very, very unique. The clarinet is actually the youngest member in the symphony orchestra, in the woodwind family, not counting the saxophone. And the saxophone also is, whenever it appears, it's like a guest appearance. But the clarinet is a member of the orchestra, and it was the latest addition. And in the classical era, Mozart, for instance, and Haydn, they started to incorporate clarinet into the symphony orchestra. Up to then, usually the woodwinds were bassoons, flutes, and oboes. And the clarinet just started to develop then, and it was really a very unique instrument. And there are really many anecdotes of Mozart writing to his father, hearing a pair of clarinets in an orchestra in Meiningen, I think, that he heard that he haven't heard before, and he was awestruck by the sound that those clarinets bring to the orchestra. And basically, the clarinet has a very unique, velvety sound, so to speak, that really combines the whole woodwind. If you hear a section of a woodwind without a clarinet, just the flute, oboe, and bassoons, it's a beautiful sound, and it's slightly reedy because of the influence of the bassoon and the oboes, because both are double reeds. But the addition of the clarinet kind of contributes a beautiful blend of sound between the woodwinds. And of course, it influenced the entire orchestra. Some composers like to put in unison clarinet and violin together, and it creates a completely different sound. Orchestration is an art by itself. I mean, it's like a painter. Mm-hmm. It's really the talent to choose a different hue for a different line, and it really can ruin or make a piece an amazing masterpiece just because of the orchestration.
All right. Well, so you're going to be at the University of Arkansas Fort Smith this week for Arkansas Clarinet Day. You'll be teaching an advanced master class.
Yes.
And this is something that you do often. Right,
yes.
You travel around, and as an acclaimed clarinetist, what sort of things will you be teaching the students at the University of Arkansas Fort Smith?
Well, usually in a master class, and that's something that I do very often, and usually I pair it with a recital. I perform a recital, but also a master class. And in a master class setting, it's it's like a lesson, but not really like a lesson completely. Why? Because there are other people present in the room. And usually the student is preparing a certain piece to a level of a concert. So it's not only a piece that is in working in progress, but almost like a finalized product. And in a masterclass setting is basically looking into the mechanics of the work with, of course, the public is there, and working with the students. Now, sometimes most of the masterclass can go around the technicality of playing the clarinet. If a student has some challenges with the tone production, so sometimes we'll work on that, and we see how that applies to the piece. Sometimes the student is in a pretty good level of the tone production, and there's no need to really work so much with that, but working much more on the musical aspect of the piece, the phrasing, the articulation, the dynamics, and so forth. So it's a very, a masterclass is something that is very unique. It's like a concert because it's different from person to person and from day to day. It's also depends on my ideas that I bring to the masterclass together with the student who's playing. So it's a very, very interesting thing to observe a masterclass. It's kind of really dissecting the piece and see how it works, how it unfolds. And really, when you hear a concert after that, things kind of make more sense.
Okay. So when are you playing throughout the whole day with the students, or do you save that for the end?
I think if I'm not wrong, my recital is in the evening, which is a solo recital, clarinet and piano, and the student the masterclass with the students where they play for me, and I work with them. That is, I think, is earlier in the day.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
What sort of pieces can we expect to hear during your solo recital?
Oh, it's a kind of a varied program, somewhat traditional, but with some things that are a bit maybe more esoteric. I will be playing a piece by Leo Weiner called Perigiverbung. It's a very short piece. And then I will play a solo piece by Elliot Carter, and he wrote this beautiful piece for clarinet, solo clarinet. It's approximately 5 minutes long. It's called Gra, and Gra, G-R-A, is a play, like playful in Polish. And he actually wrote it as homage to his friend Lutosławski, who was a great Polish composer. And then the first half I'll finish with Luigi Bassi, Concert Fantasia on themes from Rigoletto. And then the second half is a very traditional. Two masterpieces, really, for the clarinet repertoire. The first one will be Debussy, Claude Debussy, Premier Rhapsody for clarinet and piano, and we'll finish the recital with the magnificent masterpiece by Brahms, his sonata in F minor, sonata, the first sonata, Opus 120.
Well, safe travels and enjoy. Thank you so much.
Great. Thanks, Christina. Bye-bye.
Bye.